our community and community radio, and it makes a huge difference to us who are here getting to put on programs. And you know, when we get through this COVID and we go back to setting up trainings, you could become a radio programmer as well, because we offer the training on how to do all of these things for free. So thank you for listening. And if you can, take a moment, think about making a donation to KBLO. If you've been one of those who's been really hard hit with the dollars, we're not asking you to sacrifice anything that you need right now for that. We really appreciate our audience wanting you all to stay whole and healthy. But there are those out there that might be able to contribute to community radio. And this is when we'd normally be doing our spring fundraising. So I'm asking you to go ahead and make a donation to KBLO. You can find us at kblo.fm. If you're not listening on your smartphone and your computer, you can go to there and you'll see a red banner that says donate. Or you can just go on the web to kblo.fm/give. Anything you give is appreciated. And you are appreciated just for listening. Thank you so much. This is Linda Olson-Osterlund for KBLO Portland, Thursday Morning Talk Radio. Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up, we have Press Watch. Okay, you're on, Teresa.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, this is breaking news time, I guess, or maybe news just in case you haven't quite heard it yet. CNN is saying that a member of the U.S. Navy, who serves as one of President Donald Trump's personal valets, has tested positive for coronavirus. And this guy sees Trump all the time because he's there to bring him coffee and whatever. The White House had a statement confirming the report. And the White House said, quote, "We were recently notified by the White House that a member of the United States military who works on the White House campus has tested positive for coronavirus." And then they went on to say that President and Vice President have since tested negative, and they remain in great health, end quote. So this is an interesting thing. They get tests there. They have the I think it's called Abbott Labs, 15-minute test, and they go into a room and get the swab up their nose, and they know within 15 minutes, unlike the rest of us, whether they have coronavirus or not. But it's interesting to know that it has struck near the top there in the White House. Well, this is Press Watch News you're not supposed to know, and today I want to talk about the economy. I want to talk about how it's affecting you. I want to know, have you lost your job? Are you receiving unemployment? Have you been able to get unemployment? What's going on? I want to know about that aspect of the coronavirus shutdown. First, I'm going to go to some news briefs, general news you're not supposed to know. Radio Havana, Cuba, for example, reports that the Israeli regime continues with its airstrikes in the region and has threatened to keep up aggressive attacks, posing a grave threat to the lives of thousands of innocent civilians. In its latest aggression on Tuesday night, Israel's military reportedly struck three sites belonging to the Palestinian Hamas resistance movement in the northern city of Beit Hanun in the besieged Gaza Strip. The attack left no injuries or damages. Gaza has been under Israeli siege since June 2007, and the Israeli military frequently bombs the coastal enclave, with civilians being the main target of such attacks. Elsewhere in the region, the Tel Aviv regime launched airstrikes on military depots in the northern Syrian province of Aleppo on Monday evening before being confronted by the Arab country's air defense units. Israel frequently attacks military positions inside Syria, especially those of Hezbollah, which has played a key role in helping the Syrian army, in its fight against terrorists. The Israeli attacks are thus considered an attempt to prop up foreign-backed, Saqfari terrorist groups suffering heavy defeats against Syrian government forces. And speaking for myself, here you see the Havana take on it, the Cuban take on Israel's actions in the region, and in which they refer to Hezbollah playing a key role against terrorists. And of course, Hezbollah is known for their terrorist actions as well. But this is Radio Havana's angle on it, and this is the news you're not supposed to know, so I'll continue with that report. It says, Damascus has on numerous occasions complained to the United Nations about Israel's illegal strikes on Syria. Syrian government forces have taken back many areas once controlled by the terrorist groups. The government and allied forces are currently busy fighting the last bastions of militants in the northwestern province of Idlib and areas in the neighboring Aleppo province. The assaults come as Israeli Military Affairs Minister Bennett said on Tuesday that Tel Aviv would continue its attacks on Syria until Iran leaves the Arab country. Bennett claimed that Iran's presence in Syria poses a threat to Israel. The occupying regime has repeatedly carried out airstrikes on Syrian military bases, claiming that they are used by Iranian military advisors. The Islamic Republic has been offering advisory support to the Syrian military at the request of the government in Damascus. Iran's support has enabled the Syrian army to speed up its gains on various fronts against terror groups. So that's it from Radio Havana. Now this from VenezuelaAnalysis.com, and this is a story that was very much under the fold in the U.S. Basically, U.S. Florida-based mercenary group has attacked Venezuela. And they write, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro revealed that a pair of U.S. nationals were among those captured in a failed paramilitary operation to topple the government. In a televised address Monday evening, Maduro presented the passports of Luke Denman and Aaron Berry, who were arrested by Venezuelan earlier that day. The Venezuelan leader also showed what appeared to be a U.S. Army identification card belonging to Denman. The two individuals were captured by Venezuelan security forces earlier on Monday while attempting to make an amphibious landing on the peninsula of Chuao in the Aragua state. So speaking for myself, they launched on Sunday and put it up on Twitter. They were so confident about it. And it was all over by Monday morning. But returning to the article, speaking to the Washington Post, former U.S. Special Forces veteran Jordan Goudreau identified Denman and Berry as fellow ex-Green Berets employed by his private security firm, Silvercorp. I think that that should be pronounced Silvercorp. He announced that the men were advisors in a contingent of 60 combatants attempting to land on Venezuelan beaches. And also speaking for myself, that's not the only job this advisor, this Jordan Goudreau, has had lately. He was photographed in 2018 working as contracted security for one of President's famous MAGA rallies. So he's in with the Trump administration, although Trump is trying to say he doesn't know anything about him. Returning to the article on Sunday, Goudreau claimed responsibility for another attempted incursion, which was neutralized by the Venezuelan armed forces. And skipping ahead, according to the Venezuelan authorities, 8 members of the paramilitary group were killed and 2 arrested in the early morning confrontation, an account which Goudreau corroborated. Defense Minister Pedrino Lopez announced that the defensive operations were ongoing and that military exercises would begin straight away. 13 arrests have been made so far in relation to both days' events. Goudreau confirmed that both Sunday and Monday's action are part of Operation Gideon, whose objective was to capture high-ranking Caracas officials and liberate the Venezuelan people. And speaking for myself, otherwise they have, in other fora, they have said that they intended to arrest the president of Venezuela. The Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, they write, was profiled by the Associated Press over the weekend for his role in training a contingent of 300 Venezuelan deserters in Colombia as part of a coup plot led by former Venezuelan Major General Cleaver Alcala. According to AP, both the Colombian government and the Venezuelan opposition were aware of the plans. For his part, self-proclaimed interim president Juan Guaido had initially dismissed Operation Gideon as a false flag perpetrated by the Maduro government. On Monday evening, however, Guaido's office issued a statement demanding respect for the human rights of those arrested in the botched paramilitary incursion. And what it doesn't say here is that Guaido, in cooperation, of course, everything Guaido does is in cooperation with the CIA, Guaido had paid $215 million or thereabouts for this operation. To Silvercorp, skipping ahead, the agreement would see Silvercorp provide a host of services, including strategic planning, equipment procuring, and project execution advisement, that's a quote, for it's $213 million, not $215. For its part, the U.S. government has denied any connection to the operation. President Trump told reporters Tuesday morning, "I just got information. It has nothing to do with our government," end quote. Maduro has pointed the finger at Washington and Bogota, claiming that the DEA was involved in the operation. And in March, the U.S. Justice Department indicted Maduro and other top officials in Venezuela on narco-terrorism charges, as if the cocaine was not coming from Colombia. They announced a $15 million reward for his capture. So you can find that article at VenezuelaAnalysis.com, VenezuelaAnalysis.com. This is Press Watch News You're Not Supposed to Know. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 9 minutes after the hour. The Guardian reports another 3 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits this week. And that's the topic that I would like you to call in about. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. As the coronavirus pandemic continues to extract its terrible toll on the U.S. jobs market, they write, some 33 million jobless Americans now have made claims in the past 7 weeks. Now, again, I want to stop and say that's the official number, 33 million jobless Americans. That's a hell of a lot. But remember, a lot of people can't file for unemployment. A lot of people work under the table. A lot of people haven't worked long enough. There are various reasons. And I can pretty much guarantee that if 33 million jobless Americans have filed for unemployment, then there's another 30 million who don't have work and haven't filed and are also, just like you, possibly, wondering how the hell you're going to make rent and what's going to happen because you didn't make rent. The latest figures, this is again from The Guardian, from the U.S. Labor Department, come ahead of the first official monthly report on the American jobs market since the pandemic triggered lockdowns across the country. In March, the official unemployment rate in the U.S. was 4.4%, close to a 50-year low, but economists predict it can now be as high as 20%, a level unseen since the 1930s Great Depression. Again, I have to characterize for myself, I have to remind you that back in the Reagan era, back in, I think it was 83, the Reagan administration jiggered the unemployment figures so that when you hear that there's 4% unemployment in the U.S., it's really at least double that. So, and that's because they did things like they added in the Army and they took out anyone who hadn't applied for unemployment within a few weeks. It was a pretend thing in 1983 and it still is, except that we've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to being lied to. And people believe that 4% of the population is unemployed when it's really much, much higher than that. But again, returning to the article, the pace of layoffs has overwhelmed state unemployment systems across the country. Over a million people in North Carolina, for example, have now made unemployment insurance benefit claims equivalent to 20% of the state's workforce. Some 4 million have applied in California, and the state's jobless benefits fund is very close to running out, according to Governor Gavin Newsom. So there's more to that article. It's at The Guardian. I've gotten into the habit of pulling that up by putting in guardian.co.uk, which I think then redirects to The Guardian, because they won't let you in the British side from a U.S. URL. But you can get it pretty easily and read the rest of it if you like. Now, if you're out of work or if your pension has been interrupted, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to know your story. The number to call is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. This is Press Watch News You're Not Supposed to Know. I'm Teresa Mitchell. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Pardon me. Five major U.S. corporations that have laid off thousands of workers in recent weeks have simultaneously dished out hundreds of millions of dollars in cash dividends to wealthy shareholders. drawing outrage from Senator Bernie Sanders and others who say the company should be using the money to keep people employed. This is from Common Dreams in an article by Jake Johnson. The Washington Post reported Tuesday, he writes, that manufacturing giant Caterpillar, toolmaker Stanley Black & Decker, clothing company Levi Strauss, office furniture company Steelcase, and the World Wrestling Entertainment have paid out a combined $700 million in cash dividends to shareholders while they shutter off employees as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to ravage the U.S. economy. So, speaking for myself, they're taking the cash from the government and then they're just handing it out to the rich. The Post reported, quote, they are not alone. As the pandemic squeezes big companies, executives are making decisions about who will bear the brunt of the sacrifices. And in at least some cases, workers have been the first to lose, even as shareholders continue to collect. Caterpillar, for example, announced a $500 million distribution to shareholders April 8th, about 2 weeks after indicating that operations at some plants would stop, end quote. And I have to comment that that's still like the Post to have such a gentle attitude towards the big corporations. In some cases, workers have been the first to lose. I would say in just about all cases, workers have been the first to lose because that's the culture that we have. That's what things have degenerated to in this country. Do you have work? Have you lost work? What's it like for you? Number to call, 503-231-8187. Why? Because this is your radio station. This is the people's radio station, community radio, KBO Portland. We're supported by you. We're about you. And we're going to be here for you. And so I'd very much be interested in hearing what you have to say, how the economic bust has affected you. And I think that Trump needs to own this depression, as he needs to own the great majority of the pandemic deaths, because well after it was known in Wuhan that a terrible pandemic or an epidemic was underway, Trump was allowing Americans to fly into the U.S., and it was a while before they were even subjected to quarantine. And so that's on Trump. He brought it here, beyond a doubt.
Tracy, you have a caller.
And so we have 70,000 dead, at least, probably 100,000 dead. As a matter of fact, let me just go back on that and say that there's no way that it's not 100,000 dead if you add in people who are not officially tagged as having coronavirus when they were brought to the funeral homes. So I'm going to go to the first caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187, thanks to the engineer, and I'll just go to that first call. Hi.
LJ.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Good. I've been listening to a little of the American propaganda machine and other sources. And how come the wonderful work that the Cuban doctors are doing in 30 different countries to fight this pandemic is never, ever mentioned?
Well, I guess you know the answer, because they're from a socialist country and we're never supposed to think about socialism except in terms of it being terrible and having to do with being locked into gulags.
Yeah, really, really. And it's hilarious that the Cuban medical system is barely recognized. They do hold 75 patents on drugs. They've been working on this COVID-19 epidemic for the past decade, and they do have some medications that are proving to be useful. So I'm just putting it out there. The Cuban medical system is probably one of the best medical systems in the world. Thank you so much for what you do, Teresa. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. I'd like to point out that Cuba has been under continuous, vicious embargo for the last 60-something years, and it does impoverish a nation when U.S. jackals from the State Department go around and scotch every deal that they ever try to make. If they try to sell sugar, then U.S. representatives from the State Department, I say representatives, these are very dangerous people, will show up and explain to whoever makes the deal to buy Cuban sugar that not only are they not going to get any American contracts, but bad things will happen to people that they care about. It's that ugly. The U.S. has been doing it for decades and decades. Same for nickel, for any investments in Cuba, for tourist deals. And so you can, if you're a British citizen, for example, going to Havana is no big deal, but the U.S. is very unhappy that there is any business going to Cuba at all. And so the U.S. goes around the world and makes certain that Cuba is impoverished. And then you have the U.S. government, especially Republicans, but not just the Republicans, the Democrats are big on this too, going around saying, see, socialism doesn't work. You know, it's like after you've taken Cuba and beaten it half to death and thrown it in a closet, you say, look, isn't it terrible living under socialism? Well, it is, as long as you have vicious Americans attacking on a constant basis. And but despite this, the Cuban government sends, and this is, you know, part of their propaganda, they send their doctors around the world, and you probably know about that, but maybe you don't know the extent of it. There are dozens of countries around the world that have Cuban doctors saving people, and they would send them here if they were allowed to. And there are certainly places in the United States that would be very glad to see a Cuban squad of doctors show up and help people out, because one of the reasons the pandemic is spreading so badly here is because people can't afford a doctor, and you know, just don't even give it a thought. Once they get sick, they know they're just going to have to deal with it. They don't have the money. Certainly can't pay for an ambulance ride to an emergency room. That would break anyone, just about.
We have Harry on the line.
And Harry is on the line. Number to call, 503-231-8187. What's up, Harry?
Hey, Teresa. Thank you for taking my call. As for me, I'm on disabilities, and I'm a PERS a retiree, so I'm okay. So I get my benefits with no problems at all. But you were mentioning about unemployment. One thing they do about unemployment is they only count people who are receiving benefits. So if you're not receiving any type of benefits or they deny you benefits, you're not counted. But this time, when it was like 3% or 4%, we all knew that those are people who are just getting benefits. But if you ran out of your benefits, you're not counted. And look at all the homeless people. They're looking for work, but they're not counted. So there's quite a bit more. But now, with 30 million people unemployed, they can't deny it at all that we have an employment problem here.
The numbers have exceeded the propaganda.
Yes, that's true. So they can't really get away with it this time. It's going to take, even though there's 30 million, I'm sure if everything was listed, maybe 10 to 15 would go back to work. The rest of them, I think we're going to see a lot of businesses shut down and not come back at all. You know,
we need a Green New Deal. I mean, we have to change to a green economy anyway, and we need huge infrastructure investment in order to put people back to work.
Yeah, and also the trillions of dollars we've been spending because of this virus is I'm surprised none of the other countries have said, hey, wait a minute, you're spending trillions of dollars. Other people can't. Other countries cannot do the same thing as we do, as Spain. So this would cause inflation, and I'm surprised maybe China or one saying, hey, wait a minute, we're going to have to devalue the dollar really bad or not accept the dollar for what it's worth. Because remember, China did not accept the dollar until 2012 when Obama convinced them, because before if we want to buy anything from China, we had to use yen or the euro. They didn't accept the dollar. So they can go back anytime they want to be a command economy if they really want to stick it to us, you know. But
talking about that.
Pardon me?
They are talking about that.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering about that. Eventually, you know, how can we print trillions of dollars, even though it's all electronic, and they can stick it in our account electronically, that a lot of the countries are saying, hey, how are you getting away with this? One last thing I'd like to mention, the airline has been down flights have been down 95%. Look up in the sky, everybody. Look at all the chemtrails. All of a sudden, there's a lot of chemtrails. Well, if there's no one flying, how come all these chemtrails are above the city? You know, and it's something I believe that that would be shutting us down. They want you to go in, but they don't want you to look up to see what's going up in the skies. And also, this virus could be caused by something that people don't want to talk about. We don't talk about, especially the Japanese, and that is radiation sickness. Maybe this there's enough radiation now coming from Japan and also from the sun that makes us, our immune system weak, so the virus can take advantage of us.
Well, it's interesting to hear your opinions on that. I'm not going to sign on to those theories, but
okay. There's something to think about. Anyway, in previous shows of yours years ago, you mentioned about the chemtrails. And look up in the sky, this nice weather we have, and see how many we see.
Well, I had things to say about contrails, yes. Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187. All right, so I've been asking how the coronavirus economic devastation has been affecting you. And I want to say that the coronavirus has, of course, also affected KBOO fundraising. We can't do a pledge drive right now, but we are still here for you. Now, if you're one of the lucky few who still has an income and is doing okay, this would definitely be the time to pull up KBOO.fm and click on our donate button, because we need to keep going. And I think that you can see the logic of keeping KBOO going, keeping News You're Not Supposed to Know, for example, on the air, so that other people can have an alternative to the frankly that comes out of corporate media often as not. I think that Trump will use the economic terror to further divide us and pour gasoline on racism and warmongering. I think he likely intends to cancel the election, or is surely sorely tempted to do so, using coronavirus as an excuse. And he'll use the police forces and the militias to enforce a fascist regime. It's already happening. He's good at this. Don't underestimate him. Watch his face and understand that he enjoys the power he feels when he lies. Each lie makes those who hear it feel less grounded and more powerless, and he knows that. Watch him. Watch what he does to Fauci and Birx. Look at their faces when he lies, and then look at his face. See the pleasure. Everyone in the room is holding their breath out of fear, and he loves it. Lying is his superpower. He has gotten as accustomed to his degenerate venality as if we were all in a sick family with a mob boss as our father. His followers revel in it, too, as they believe that somehow they are inside the circle of his rule. They feel the power of his destabilizing lies. Every day the TV cameras give him more time and power. It's hard to communicate as this happens that we are in the final throes of what passed for democracy. Later we'll see it. It'll become obvious. Right now we're in shock as the man who lost the election by 3 million votes turns one-third of the nation against everyone else. He controls the police and most of the military, though not quite as much of the military as he thinks. His lackey, Mitch McConnell, is frantically getting monster judges approved right now and handing out all the golden Fort Knox to the billionaires by the cartload. He's using the pain and terror of the 70 or 100,000 dead to terrorize the living. And Trump does it by lying so that the dead weigh on us with uncertainty and division. We have to add the horror of watching this man lie about the deaths he has caused, even as we are unable to attend funerals to our loved ones. We watch as the White House leaders get up and play with the carnage for profitable contracts, killing black Americans with neglect and racist cops, killing black, indigenous, and people of color by proportion. What pleasure this monster takes in our confusion and misery. The Trump virus is the perfect arena to drive the diminished remaining power of the U.S. working class into a bathtub to be strangled and drowned. Every strike that happens right now, though, has 10 times the power it had last year, 100 times, because this time, every time we hear about a strike, we think, yes, that is the only thing left to do, and it is the right thing to do. Jeff Bezos was so terrified of one man talking about striking that he arranged with his cronies and his billions to smear him, that one black worker, as if he were a powerful presidential candidate. The power of a good example is what Bezos fears, a pandemic tsunami of worker solidarity, worker confidence, worker power that would divert the great river of blood, sweat, and tears away from his profitable mill race. We workers, that's you, by the way, you're not middle class, we have the power for now. Even as the plutocrats who run the American oligarchy have already diverted titanic tax sums into their own pockets, trillions of dollars was instantly available to enrich the rich. You notice that? Well, those are the same trillions we have always been told that we cannot possibly use to have a Green New Deal to make this society bearable and even prosperous. We were told it didn't even exist, those trillions, and every attempt to move to a sane and gracious society was met with, but how will we pay for it? And now we see exactly how we can pay for everything, for that National Health Service, for schools and colleges, for our greatly desired and desperately needed Green New Deal. It's right there. And the Trump, McConnell, Pelosi machine is stealing it again, once again, for the stinking rich. You've been listening to Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And you've been listening on KBOO 90.7 FM, coming to you from our great big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills, going out to you on other frequencies in Oregon, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:29 a.m. Next up, we have Fight the Empire. You're on.
I don't hear anything. Am I supposed to hear the radio?
Yeah, you're on. I can hear you.
Okay. You want to play my music?